from Joan Chow from the California Department of Public Health. She'll be presenting on utility of syphilis. Oh, here we go. Chemiluminescence immunoassay index values for distinguishing true infection among subgroups of patients with discordant treponemoimmunoassay results. Joan, please correct anything.
Do over. We can try it again, but you can read it. It's a mouthful. First of all, I want to say that Ina Park was very sad at not being able to travel here. She's in the last trimester of her pregnancy and wants to be close to the hospital. So I'm honored to present her, our study in her behalf. And I also want to start by acknowledging our other important partners, especially those from Kaiser Permanente Northern California. So for something completely different from the previous presentations, treponema pallidum-specific immunoassays are increasingly being used as an initial screening test for syphilis. And the two most common treponemal assays in use are enzyme immunoassay and chemiluminescence immunoassay, or as I'm going to refer to it for the rest of the talk, as CIA. It's a mouthful. The use of treponemal assays represents a reversal of the previous algorithm for syphilis screening in that now we screen with a treponemal test first and follow with a non-treponemal test, the RPR or BDRL, if the CIA is positive. So as a result, there is now a new population of patients with discordant serology being identified, that is, CIA positive, RPR negative, that we wouldn't have identified before. CDC currently recommends confirmatory testing for discordant specimens with a second treponemal test. So this is how the treponemal CIA test works, in case you were wondering. And it's important for understanding the rest of the talk. The patient sample is actually incubated with T pallidum antigens, which binds with those antigens to form an antigen antibody complex. A labeled secondary antibody is then used to detect those antigen antibody complexes. Then after a washing and enzymatic activation step, chemiluminescence step reaction occurs, and lo and behold, light is released. So here is how the CIA result is actually read by the machine. The machine actually compares the quantity of light units or the signal that's emitted from the specimen to a control. The machine then generates a ratio of these light signals called an optical density index value, or ODI value, and I'm going to refer to these throughout the talk. What about these ODI values? Well, they range from 0 to 70, with a cutoff of 1 or greater being reported out as positive. Qualitative CIA results are reported to clinicians as either positive or negative based on an ODI value greater than 1 or less than 1. But it's unknown whether the quantitative ODI value has any clinical or laboratory utility, especially for patients with these discordant CIA positive RPR negative results. Quantitative ODI values have been used for other immunoassays to help determine the need for confirmatory testing. So for instance, with the hepatitis C EIA, a high ODI value is correlated with true infection such that if it is high, then confirmatory testing would not be needed. So our study objective was twofold. First, to determine if ODI values among patients with discordant CIA positive RPR negative results are associated with the TPPA result, and to determine if there are differences in CIA ODI values by these three factors: demographic characteristics, clinical history, and subsequent serology testing results. So the setting here is a little bit different from what you've heard about earlier in this session, in that we are now going to be talking about Kaiser Permanente Northern California, which is an integrated managed care organization with about 3.2 million members. And that roughly corresponds to about one out of every three people living in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area. It has a centralized regional laboratory which performs 7,000 to 10,000 syphilis tests monthly. In terms of the inclusion criteria, this is an observational cohort, so we included consecutive patients who were tested with the diazoran liaison CIA from August 2007 to October 2007. And our approach in terms of the study design is a cross-sectional analysis. The outcome is we're looking at the median ODI values, which were then stratified by gender, pregnancy status, HIV status, prior syphilis history, symptoms, which include a genital ulcer or a rash, the TPPA status, and the results of any repeat treponemal serology. These were all obtained in the electronic medical record, which is now known as Health Connect. For a statistical analysis, the Kruskal-Wallis test was used to compare median ODI values across groups, and p less than 0.05 was considered statistically significant. So for the results, here is our CIA testing algorithm and how these results came out for these patients, of which there were 21,623 patients during that period of time that were initially tested with the CIA. And of these, 2% were CIA positive, and all of these were followed up with an RPR. 34% of the CIA positives were RPR positive, and 66% were RPR negative. The CIA positive RPR positives were managed just like with the prior RPR screen algorithm. So we're going to set those aside and look just at the 66%, the 288 patients who were CIA positive RPR negative, our discordants. So the 288 patients with these discordant results were then tested with the TPPA as per CDC recommendations. After excluding patients based on duplicate or infant or missing ODI data, the final sample was 252 discordant patients. And of these 252 discordant patients, here are the TPPA results. 72% were TPPA positive and 28% were TPPA negative. All of the tests were performed on the same specimen, and all three results were reported simultaneously to the provider. This table shows median CIA ODI values by patient characteristics for those 252 patients with discordant test results. First, males demonstrated significantly higher median ODI values compared to the females. And there were no differences in median ODI values that were seen by pregnancy status for the women or by HIV status. In this table, we show the median CIA ODI values by the clinical characteristics. Patients with a documented prior history of syphilis demonstrated significantly higher ODI values compared with those without prior syphilis. And of the few patients that were identified with symptoms, either with a genital ulcer or rash, they also demonstrated higher median ODI values. Here we show the distribution of ODI values for the patient population that was CIA positive, RPR negative, according to the TPPA status. The proportion of patients who were TPPA negative are in blue, and TPPA positive are in red for each ODI value. And I want to point out that 31% of the population actually had an ODI value that was greater than 12, and all 78 of these patients with index values over 12 were also TPPA positive. If we look at ODI values on the lower end of the spectrum, you see that 92% of patients who were CIA positive, TPPA negative, had ODI values lower than 5. Let's drill down even further to look at the distribution of ODI values lower than 5. We saw that 65% of the TPPA negative patients had ODI values less than 2. So you're starting to see a relationship here. Now look at results when we did a repeat CIA serology based on what the initial ODI value was. So here again, we have the 252 patients with discordant serologies, CIA positive, RPR negative. 43% of the patients were repeat tested within a year, and the median ODI value, the initial ODI value, differed according to subsequent serology results. So for the 10% who seroconverted to CIA positive, RPR positive, the median ODI value was 17.6, as shown here, compared to 5.6 ODI value for the 84% vast majority who had no change in their serology pattern. And finally, the median ODI value was the lowest amongst the 6% of discordant patients that then retested as CIA negative. And these were probably likely initially false positive CIA. And the difference in these median ODI values was statistically significant at a p-value of 0.007. So, summary of findings. The ODI values greater than or equal to 12 were highly correlated with tPA positivity. Median ODI values were higher in subgroups with epidemiologic risk factors for syphilis, including males, patients with prior syphilis, and in symptomatic patients. The ODI values were high among patients who seroconverted to RPR positive, and the ODI values were low among patients who retested as CIA negative. So there's a couple limitations, however, among which are the cutoff. The ODI value of 12 actually needs to be confirmed with repeat analysis. This is probably the first time that this has been reported with this test. The repeat testing was not universally performed among the patients, and this poses some issues around selection bias, as you can imagine. Retested patients may have different risks than those who were not retested, so that has to be considered when you look at this observational data. So what are the implications of this analysis for treponemal screening practices? And, of course, it's always very controversial when there's not a whole lot of data. If the ODI threshold is confirmed, then it would, you can conceive of it being possible to discontinue TPPA testing on CIA-positive, RPR-negative specimens with ODI values above this threshold. And as a result, 31% of CIA-positive, RPR-negative specimens would not need confirmatory testing, and conceivably there would be cost savings for the laboratory. However, it's unclear if high initial ODI values can be predictive of future seroconversion to RPR positives, given the potential bias for retesting certain patients in this particular study, and thus we would need a prospective study with systematic repeat testing to establish the predictive value of a high initial ODI value. So on behalf of Ina, thank you. She is the Chief of Medical and Scientific Affairs Unit at our STD Control Branch at the State of California. She's also the co-medical director of the California STD HIV Prevention Training Center, who sponsored her. And here is a little bit more information about their great work that you can find at their booth. So thank you very much, and I'm available for questions.